Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the S Rank Supports podcast. My name is Cy Anderson.
My name is Gabriel Cream.
Ooh, you got your new microphone. Is that a new microphone or is it you've had that one for a while?
This is like the go-to microphone at home. It's okay. Actually my gramps. He's got a nice it's a nice Neumann condenser mic. Actually, okay. Very top of the line. Maybe not the best for podcasts, but very good for...
I don't know, man. It's really boomy. It might even be better than mine, and mine's newer.
It's got that boom. Yeah, it's good. He uses it for a concert recording, like every band concert or whatever I had back in like high school. He would show up 2 hours early, pop up all the mics, and you know, get a camera going in the back. So
okay.
No one asked him to do that. So go. He's the goat, but good anyway. Guy.
Well, anyways, nice what are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim on our long-awaited comeback.
I know, yeah.
So we haven't published any of these episodes, but the last one we recorded was maybe, like
a few months ago? Not six. Yeah. No, it's like April. It's... September. Well, okay, 5 months. Okay.
You're right.
That's my bad. You're right. It doesn't feel like, yeah, it's a while ago. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We're finishing the, that we explained in one of the other episodes, but this game swap that we did, right? I had you play Inscription. You had me play 13 Sentinels. And then at some point, we're going to talk about Firewatch. Maybe. We'll see what happens with that one. Maybe. But yeah, so that was your assignment to me, 13 Sentinels. Remind me how you found the game in the first place, because I remember you showed the game to me and I had no idea what you were talking about. I had never heard about it before.
Yeah, so a really good friend of mine, one of my best friends from my hometown, I get a lot of my game recommendations from him, and he just happened to have it. He was happened to be, I think, playing it on his PlayStation, and I noticed it kind of on his home screen, I think. And I was like, what's that about? Oh, actually, you know what it was? He was lending me a game, but he's like digital copies only now. So for me to borrow his games, I had to log in as him. And when I was logged in, it like a bunch of games popped up, other stuff that he's downloaded that I could just download right then and there. And I think I caught 13 Sentinels and was like, I don't know what this is, but I kind of want to give it a try. I also noticed that Atlas did the publishing.
Right.
And since I was a Persona nerd at that point,
raised the flag for you.
Yeah, I was very fascinated by what that project could entail. So I downloaded it, played it myself, and overall was pretty impressed. I feel like I've never met someone else that played that game besides him. And I was very curious. I think part of the reason I gave it to you for a game swap was just blatant curiosity for what you might think of it. Because I think it does some things really well, especially its unique take on sort of narrative. But we can get into that. But anyway, that's the game I gave you and watched you try and finish it on a flight to
Japan. Well, I beat it on the flight back from Japan when we went in March.
Yes, you did.
I didn't play much while we were there because we were busy with other stuff, but I think I was like super close to finishing it all. I think I got stuck on somebody's random chapter, but I'm sure we'll touch on that. I'll touch on that later. Oh, but yeah, definitely was same as Inscription a little bit. It was, you know, giving you my updates along the way and you got to enjoy seeing. I don't know. I think that's why these game swaps are so much fun, is because it's fun to share things that you love with other people.
Exactly.
Look at us being all wholesome. But yeah, I mean, why don't we start with the story then? I mean, it's kind of a big place to start, but
it's kind of why you play the game.
Definitely. I mean, what even genre would you put? It's kind of like I can't call it point and click because it's not point and click, but it's almost like visual novel. I don't even know. I've never even thought about that. It's
like a sci-fi point. The combat is very like, it's almost, I guess it's like tactical. RPG in a way, because you've got different units that do different things and need to be moved accordingly.
So maybe let's back up and do a little bit of an overview of what's going on, and I guess I can explain it a little bit to prove that I actually played the game. But but yeah, the game is interesting. Every time you boot up the game, you're kind of looking at a menu, but you have two different like game modes, and then the third one's like an archive, right? Vanillaware seems to do this really cool thing. I don't know about their other games, but it's in Unicorn Overlord as well, which you played and I'm working on playing. They have a sort of like archive. Anytime you do anything in the game, it's like this piece of the archive updated. And so it's like you can go in there and like refresh on the story, or it's just like you can catch up on what's going on, which in a game like this where there's lots of branching stuff going on, that's pretty cool. But yeah, and then there's like the main story mode, which is what we were talking about before, is kind of like a visual novel-esque point. I want to say point and click because of the thought cloud stuff going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's the story. That's where you meet the characters and you see them interact with each other. And then there's the battle. I don't think it's called battle. I'm forgetting now.
I forget what it's called.
Yeah, destruction. Destruction is what it's called.
Yeah.
Destruction mode, which is a series of battles. And it's practically like an entirely other game. There's like two different styles of games in one. Mm-hmm. But that takes place... those series of battles take place at different points in the story. And sometimes you're locked behind doing story progression narratively until you... in order to progress with the destruction stuff. But yeah, so the cool thing about this game story-wise, I feel like, is it 12 characters? There's 12? No, 13 does in the title.
I think
it's 13.
There are 13. It is confusing, though, because there are 15 like main characters that are like... Oh, and going forward, spoilers. So if you want to play this game, spoiler alert, but... The total number of characters that are like that, who had their DNA suctioned from like the old world, mm-hmm. preserved and then reborn, there's 15 of them. So it is a little, you know, confusing.
Yeah. Well, there's 13 playable characters.
13 playable.
And they each have their own stories that you go through. What I really like about the game is like you, and I've talked with you a little bit about this. You unlock certain character stories, and then as you progress through them, it gives you a percentage of how much of it you've done. And they each are broken up in something, I want to say, like six chapters-ish, something like that.
Six chapters.
None of them are particularly long in and of themselves, but when you're hopping between them and meeting all these different characters, it takes a lot longer. And it really, the game really keeps you invested in wanting to explore the other stories. One, because you want to see how everything works out. But, you know, even from the very, very beginning of the game, you start off playing one character and you meet several of the other characters in the storyline and from his perspective. And then after a chapter or two, then you unlock one of those other characters' perspectives and you want to start playing that. I remember what I talked to you a little bit about. It's interesting because I think one of the drawbacks of it's just an interesting thing when the player has so much choice story wise in what they're doing. I feel like sometimes people talk about this in this dilemma with like open world games as well, is like how to balance telling a story but giving the player enough autonomy that they can kind of create their own story. In a way. And what's really cool about this is like something that I think it struggles with is there's so much going on. There's like so much lore, if you will, and like there's so many different time periods going on. And sometimes it's really difficult to understand what is happening where in relation to other people's stories and things. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing about it, which is partially also what I just said is a negative, is that like you get to really create, like, you don't even intend, it's not even intentional, but you end up creating your own,
yeah,
it, like aha moments is what I think I called it to you, is like, I know I talked with you about a couple of specific examples, but there, I had like, me personally had a couple really cool moments where I had like been focusing on these people's like a few of the characters' stories, and I hadn't touched the other ones. And then like I went and started someone else's story and did some of theirs. And then all of a sudden, like everything I had already learned and played was recontextualized and I understood in different ways. There were, you know, like I don't necessarily need to get like specific. I wrote a couple of them down, but like specific with all the names. What I remember telling you about, you know, in the game, there's this like, you know, agent 426 is what I wrote down. That's what I'm assuming that's accurate. Who's like this, like, you know, this is very sci-fi based game. So it's like he's time hopping and like universe hopping practically. There's so much going on. And for most of my playthrough, he was just this dude that like I knew was bad and I knew was influencing things that I saw going on, but like I still hadn't figured out who he was. And then I went and played a little bit of someone else's story and saw what turned out to be him, but in a context where they weren't referring to him as Agent 426. So then I had this really cool aha moment where it's like, then I went back and played that story and I just, you just start to notice things and like, it's really cool to have that feeling of like, oh, like this was cool in this moment because I did these order of chapters in that specific way. And there's, that's literally just luck, right? Like that's only the, there's probably a, like, I don't even, you could do the permutation math or whatever. There's probably like thousands and thousands of ways to like order the way to play the game in. So in that way, it feels really personal, which is kind of cool. You kind of create your own story in that way. But
yeah, it does. You've definitely touched upon something that I think the game does pretty effectively, because I think a cast of 13 whole characters that all feel, I would argue, equally important is just sort of really fun. I feel like I have a lot of fun when they give me that much choice. And I think, and when you say that, yeah, the game literally does let you sort of create your own story. I think that's very much true. And I think this game sort of has even replay value in the sense that there are so many different combinations. Like you could start over from scratch, which I've done once or twice now, and just played around with who I was controlling first and who I would move to next. And the story kind of unfolds in a just a different way. And then that kind of recontextualizes your experience. And I think there's something super cool about that. Something I think the game does narratively that I think is very effective is it is a very confusing narrative. I mean, and you could critique the game for that. You could say it was unnecessarily, you know, complicated and overcomplicated, complex. But when you put the pieces together and maybe go back for another playthrough, and I still think the game is really quite enjoyable, because what what Vanillaware does really well with their storytelling is every time you play like a character's, like a chapter of one character, there's sort of this mini, there's sort of a granular narrative. Like Sekigahara will like walk out into a like street, a busy street at night, and find like a telephone box, meet someone mysterious, and then the chapter will end because that mysterious person will give them advice. And it's like, whoa, you know, there's this crazy layer of mystery to that. And some of them struggled with this, but I think most of them told really cool granular sort of narratives. And I think on a narrative level, that's really what I think a lot of effective narratives are missing, especially in like episodic television, for example. Like you can have like one episode, and if all that episode is doing is to get us to something else that happens later down the line, you could argue that that show's not reaching, you know, its full potential. That episode didn't do everything that it could have. But if it explored some granular narrative or smaller story to contextualize something that will then be impacted later, right? Like there's these layers in this setup. And I think like really good TV shows do this well. Maybe not so great TV shows, I think, often struggle from this. But to find it in a game was almost sort of unprecedented. And that touches a little upon what you said about open world games, because open world games can struggle with that too, because it suffers, the amount of player autonomy you introduce starts to have the game, you know, suffer from that. Because if a player chooses to go do one thing over another, and that wasn't the best combination, then their experience is suffering for the choice they made. And that's obviously something that you don't want a player to really feel like, you know, or you don't want them to feel punished for just doing something that they wanted to do.
Right.
But in 13 Sentinels, all these stories, I mean, it's literally story mode and destruction mode. And I think that that very hard delineation actually really aids the player experience, because you can flip-flop whenever you want. You can do whatever you want. And then the characters are all, it's set beforehand. It's almost linear in that sense, because you're going to get this story first. You're going to get chapter two after chapter one for each character, right? And so in that way, it was planned out, but you still have player autonomy. Mm-hmm. And I think when all is said and done, that's almost the reason I think I gave you the game. It's because I found that aspect of it to be very unique.
I think, well, it's funny you use the word linear, because I was thinking about what I was going to say, and I was specifically going to mention I feel like the reason why some of the things work and why it's satisfying to play is because of how non-linear it is. I mean, like, the destruction thing, I mean, the beginning of the game, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the very first thing you do is you do one of the destruction battle levels, and then you start with the first storyline. Forgetting who it is. Let me look at my notes. Kurabe. Juro Kurabe. But yeah, I mean, I was trying to think. I just think, like, I don't know. I mean, for whatever reason, like, as humans, it's very satisfying to figure things out. Like, we want to figure things out. And so right off the bat, when you start the game, you're learning a new video game, for one, but you're aware that there's all these characters you're controlling, and they all already know each other, and there's clearly something that's happened before when you got to this big battle with all these kaijus and sentinels, essentially, right? And I think what happens is, it's interesting because they're separate, you kind of think of the destruction mode as its own separate thing. But similar to what I was mentioning about, like, you know, when you're hopping between storylines, you're figuring things out in other people's stories in a non-linear, almost kind of by chance way. But then separate from that, I also found a lot of enjoyment in, like, there's kind of the larger meta story arc of, okay, how do we end up in the destruction mode, right?
Yeah.
Which is essentially all of it taking place after everything in the story mode. So I just, like, found so much satisfaction in, like, trying to figure, you kind of, like, you get dialogue in the destruction mode, you can kind of tell, like, who's closer with one another, and then when those relationships build in the story mode, you're like, oh, okay, now I can see why that builds up later. So you just, like, I just enjoyed, like, there's so much, like, granular, as you said, like, putting things together, but then on a meta level, like, figuring out how to get from A to B. And then I feel like,
right,
I don't know, it's almost kind of psychological, because I feel like that then, like, you want to know what happens, and you're just constantly feeling like you're slowly figuring things out more and more, and that makes you want to keep figuring out what's going on. Kind of form your own plot twists that way, your own aha moments, as I kind of mentioned earlier. But yeah, it's like, I have a hard time deciding if I, like, I can't decide if I feel like it's a valid criticism about, like, just how it's confusing. I think it's appropriate to use the word confusing, because there's so much going on. But the reason I feel kind of not okay critic, like in the sci-fi genre. I feel like there's lots of sci-fi franchises that are like this. Mm-hmm. They have tons of lore and there's so much going on, time jumping, and we talked lots about like how you kind of see other characters appear in other perspectives and you're kind of learning how characters connect that way. I remember like as soon as I think kind of late in my playthrough, like I had the first interactions with like the fact that characters are being cloned into like robots. And then as soon as I had the idea in my head that, oh, now there's robotic clones of people, I was like, oh crap. Like I was like, okay, so now there's this added layer of any time I've ever seen anybody from another perspective, it might not even be a robot. Like,
yeah.
You know? So like it very much is in the sci-fi genre.
Okay. So you think that they're pulling from some like cliches almost to like maybe inject some interest into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think where your critique is very valid is, and this happened to me, I think, after I played the game for the first time. So you mentioned that there were like three sections to the game, and the third one is like the archive, the database. Mm-hmm. And you can go in there and they have like files, so you can look up any person, place, or thing, and they will give you a very good description of whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
There's also an events tab, and they lay out every single interaction in the entirety of the game once you're done with it in a linear fashion. And I mean, that's stuff from the old world when they were building the ship where the game takes place to the new world when they finally land on a planet and like disembark, right?
Yeah.
I remember just skimming through that, getting to an event, and then reading the event after that.
Yeah.
Dealing with like the same people, place, and characters, you know?
Right.
And I was like, that is an incredibly black and white linear story.
Yeah.
But the complexity they added to it was almost, you could argue, artificial just by completely separating those two and the timeline in which the game delivers that narrative upon you and immediately makes it more confusing than arguably it needed to. So I think you're, while you might be talking about genre, I wanted to pose this as like a question of like, what do you think is like, how much, when does it, and this is a tough question, when does it start to become sort of like artificial in your deliverance of a non-linear narrative? Like how much can you actually do that? When do you start to lose interest and just add over complexity? I think this game kind of poses that sort of philosophical quandary, if you will, at its highest level.
Yeah, that is a good question. I think, I mean, that kind of relates to what I was just thinking about as you were talking. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, it kind of tackles that in that way. I mean, like, again, I feel like the only other game genre that kind of has a similar issue is like open world stuff. And the way that open world games kind of solve that issue is like, you're free to do whatever the heck you want, but there's some markers that are like, okay, you can't do this until you progress in the main story or whatever, right? And that kind of like sets you, that kind of like resets the contextualization, I guess. And that exact example is also present in 13 Sentinels. There's times where you're like, you can't progress in this person's story until you do this chapter in this person's story,
because
it's going to be important for what you're about to see. It's essentially preventing you from spoiling yourself of something else happening. I don't know. I mean, I think if the goal is to let the player form their own understanding of the narrative as it goes on, then I think the complexity of the randomization, if you will, of communicating that knowledge is a useful tool. What I was thinking about, that's kind of, the counter to that is, you know, you mentioned that you've, I mean, you've played the game multiple times, right? You've played it twice.
I have. Now. Yeah. I think I was working on a third playthrough almost.
Yeah.
Almost done with the third.
Yeah.
I played it probably too much, but yeah.
And like, it's interesting because I think you and I share, like, I think you and I share the love of playing through the game and like having those aha moments and figuring stuff out as we play. I think where we're different is like with a game like this that take like a lot of mental energy and like being able to put stuff together. For me, that's the type of game where like I want to get through it and have my experience with it. But like a game like this, where my experience was I finished it all. And by the end, I still had like some crazy big questions and things I didn't understand. I'm not the type of person with a game like this. Like maybe years from now, I'd love to replay it. But like, I'm like impressed that you're able to play a game like this multiple times. Cause like, I think that maybe that's a criticism, but like, especially with a game as like complex and strung out in different branching stories and how it all ties together, for me to like go through all that like real mental work and then get to the end of the game and still have like huge questions where I'm like, look, I'm like sure that I'm sure the answer's in there somewhere, but I missed it. Like there was so much going on that I don't understand how this happened.
I think that's a very valid critique.
Yeah,
I think
like that's a little disappointing.
End of a game. Yeah, I totally understand that. And I think that's it's very valid because no matter how complicated a narrative is, I think some mysterious qualities or like a little bit of ambiguity is like a good complement to a complex narrative because something could be left to interpretation. This is not a game that has any of that. I mean, the events are like A to B. You read the story events linear, like in the linear fashion in the events database. Everything happens for a reason. Everything makes sense. Right. Like these are very arguably linear events with little ambiguity. And so for you to reach the end of the game and say, wow, I still don't understand. I've still got big lingering questions. I think that is definitely, at that point, that is a fault of the game because they didn't deliver, you know, they didn't deliver unto you some sort, like a very concrete explanation or some like, not even concrete explanation, but just a satisfying way of answering something or coming back to a concept and addressing it a little bit more in depth.
Wonder if there's kind of, maybe it's just kind of a, I don't know, there's pros and cons to both situations. I'm kind of going to thwart my own critique and I'm kind of going to ask you the reverse of what you had asked me. And that now I'm wondering, like, if the story was told in a linear fashion, if they basically, I mean, they already have it all out. If they basically took what's in their events page. And they told the story that way.
Yeah.
I wonder if I would have had as much fun with the story. Because I think what I was talking about earlier, I think that the constant mystery and like the way it drags you along because it's kind of psychologically making you want to figure out what's going on is really pulling you along. Because otherwise, I don't know. I like a lot of really complex sci-fi stories and stuff, but I think if the game was told linearly, I wonder if that would have almost made it feel more complicated because of constantly just like, okay, this just happened. Okay, I guess we're in it. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's a good question.
Do you think your experience would have been worse or better?
I think it would have been worse. I think I would not have enjoyed this game as much.
Yeah.
I would be going. I think this is very much a game where I would be going from point A to point B, and the journey was. You know, I think there might be some interest remaining if player selection was still a thing. So if I got to choose the character, I mean, maybe. Because there's no way you would have to forego that, right? To tell a completely linear narrative, a lot of the, you wouldn't have a choice. You would have to do characters in order. And I think that would be terrible. Cause I feel like, as I mentioned earlier, one of my favorite things was having so many choices and characters. And even when they locked, you know, they locked me out of like three or four, that just got me excited. Cause I was like, ooh, what do they want me to know before I keep going?
Right.
You know? And so I can put those like pieces together. It's like they're leaving breadcrumbs.
Exactly. For
me. And I think that's super cool.
Yeah.
So it was completely linear. Yeah.
Yeah. No maybe go. We just ended up disproving our own criticism. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. But, well, I still think it plays into that question of like how much nonlinearity can you introduce until it becomes like, okay, we have a boring story and we need to make it interesting and this is how we're gonna do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, something just made me think about is like, you know, the destruction mode, you know, it's about fighting and it's about battling. And I don't even know if we probably won't even get to talk about that today, but like that mode in itself is a game. Mm-hmm. And what I just thought about is like, you know, with a story like this, it's almost like the way it's set up with you choosing the characters and the different storylines, like that in itself almost gamifies the story. And I wonder like if the story was linear in itself, the game would almost be more like, okay, here's like our archive section. Here's the battle game mode. Here's like story time, you know, like lore, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
So I don't know. That just made me think about that. And in some ways, you know, yeah, you get to walk around and control the characters in the story mode, but, mm-hmm. that would be the extent of like the game of it.
Right. I don't think it would work.
I think I agree with you. Yeah.
Now we got a few minutes left.
Since we're doing this,
let's talk briefly about. Unfortunately, we gotta get a podcast tool after this.
Something.
We're taking sponsors. All right.
Yeah.
Well, briefly, what do you think about the combat?
Yeah, it was super fun.
Because I remember when fun. Good.
Yeah, go ahead.
Keep going.
Well, I just think, I mean, when I first started the game, I think that's what I was more interested in. I remember I told you, like, I mean, I started the story, and then I just kept progressing in the combat, and I basically did all the combat levels I could until it told me you need to do way more of the story. So I basically like 2 to 3 hours worth of battles that it wanted me to do across a span of like 20 hours of gameplay in those like first 4 hours of my playthrough. So I had a lot of story stuff I had to do before I could go back to that. I had a lot of fun with it. I found like it was my first time and, you know, we'll end up talking about it later, but I think VanillaWare is the first developer that's introduced this like, it's not turn-based, but it's strategy like on like it's real-time strategy, right?
It's real-time strategy.
But it the game pauses as you make decisions in a way that is like semi-turn-based. All your characters are on a timer, right, for when they can move again. And then the game pauses while you select the next action. So in some ways, it's kind of turn-based. It's like PvE mode.
I think kind of like what the Final Fantasy VII remakes are doing, where it's like it's sort of turn-based because you just need to attack until you have like an ATB gauge full.
Yeah.
But then you can basically pause the game and look at your menu for however long you want and figure out what you want to do with that ATB gauge. So it's very much a real-time sort of strategy thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think overall, like I really enjoy the destruction mode. I think the things you and I talked about and laughed a bit is I just think the way the game teaches you how to do it and also visually I think are could probably use work. I remember there were a couple of times where I got to play the game while you were hanging out with me and kind of showing me some ropes, and there were multiple things that you were like coaching me on how to do, and I was like, I don't even if the game taught me how to do that, I didn't understand it. Or so maybe it's just a me thing. But there were several things where I was like, I don't even think the game teaches you how to do that. You know?
Yeah. Their UI, their UX is definitely not crippling, but it is a huge it's a huge mark off the game for me. Because it's like, only on my second playthrough did I understand some things. They weren't explaining some. If you just look at the a screenshot of gameplay and you give that to anyone on the sidewalk and it just asks them in the most vaguest of ways to break down what they're seeing, I don't think they they could. They would vaguely get that there was a drop down. The map is hard to read. I think that's my biggest critique of the game. But when it comes to the combat itself, I remember the first time I played the game, I hated it. I felt like it was all so superficial. Like, oh, pick a big gun, shoot big swarm. It derives satisfaction from big swarm exploding. You know, and I remember I hated it. But over time, it grew on me because it was about it wasn't about strategy so much. Yes, it's real time strategy, but the actual strategy required was almost like almost few and far between because it was pretty simple, the interactions that they were kind of setting up for you. And then your satisfaction that you derive from the gameplay is very much from, you know, shredding a horde of enemies. And that is your satisfaction. I think once I accepted that, I started to have more fun with it.
Agree. In the destruction mode, you're talking about the UI. Yeah, I feel like, well, we joked plenty about the fact that visually it's, there's so much going on. But at the same time, I don't know what else they necessarily could have done.
They could have cleaned it up. That's what they could have done. I mean, I admit that.
Aggressive about it. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot visually. Sometimes there's things overlaying. Sometimes it's really hard to see what's going on. I remember you pointed out, you know, there's tons of enemies that'll like shoot missiles up, like over, like almost out of the screen's view.
Yeah, over the camera.
Where it's going to hit, and you can't even adjust the camera in a way that you can actually see it, really. So, yeah, there's just a lot going on. I feel like what probably would have helped a lot visually is if the city floor wasn't so detailed. There's just like so much overlaying.
Unnecessary detail.
I mean, it's cool. Like it's very visually like pretty. But it's also very hard to see stuff sometimes. I think my only like, wish, if I had like a wish list for the combat section, was, and I had this thought from the very beginning of the game, was like, I feel like in the whole game overall, like there's these, you know, part of the coolness factor in the sci-fi stuff is like being in these giant mechs, right? But my one of my issues is I feel like there's very few times where like you as the player like get to feel like really big and powerful. And even in the destruction mode, you know, you're just controlling them all as like little units on a field. And like, so I don't know what they could have done. Like I noticed later that like when you're hovering on a move option to select, it'll show you a little like animation of doing that move. I don't know. Maybe it would have been cool if like when you do a move, it like Fire Emblem style like goes down like into like showing what's going on. That's like my only it feels like it's a pretty small thing overall, but like
pretty small. I think that's very valid though.
Like fighting in these giant sentinels, like I was expecting to like get to feel like huge.
But even when you're in those sentinels, the game makes you feel pretty small because they got to zoom the camera way out so you can see enemies from afar. Enemies are huge. And then you go back to story mode and you get to the end of someone's chapter and like a sentinel appears and it's called down. I'm like, whoa, are they really that big? Because I feel so small when I'm piloting it. So, yeah, that's I think that's fair.
But is there anything else you wanted to talk about the game? I feel like I got most of my thoughts out. Overall, I really liked it. So it was a good pick on your part.
That's good. I do. I
Very
did. I
happy.
told you this on the side that Inscription for 13 Sentinels was. You give me my
You
now
need to get over that.
second favorite game of all time, and I hand you some stuff that I was like, oh, I think about this every once in a while.
Get over that. I think it was great. It was an even swap. It all evened out in
Good,
the end.
good.
Yeah, I'm very happy with
I do
it.
want to leave a quick shout out to 13 Sentinels title screen, because that title screen is
Yeah.
sick.
We didn't even get
When you
talked
hit a
really about the
key,
music, but I loved the
and they,
music.
I think we had a one of our previous episodes was on
We talked a
like
little bit about it.
interactive title
Yeah.
screen music.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned that.
Yeah.
But that one has a special place in my heart, because
Yeah.
it feels good and it sounds good, and
Yeah.
it's literally just a title screen.
Yeah.
So,
Lots of good
quick
music,
shout out.
particularly the music in the destruction mode. I really, really
Oh
like.
yeah.
I just constantly found myself singing that little bass motif as in the in like the preposition, the dump da dump 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 da da dump. It's just like
It's good.
so much
It's very
tension
good.
going into the battle.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
And there was the 210 destruction chapter where
You were excited about
Amaguchi's
that.
quote unquote idol girlfriend
Yeah.
admirer,
Yeah.
you know, comes in because she's apparently important, you know,
Yeah.
and start singing for like the
Yep.
entirety of that level. And it's almost like a meme
The
now,
game
is,
finally
you
has
know,
its
oh.
like anime play the opening theme song during like a high
Yeah.
climactic battle moment. That's kind of what that was in my
That
brain.
is. Yeah, it scratches that itch very
Yeah.
much so.
Well, awesome.
Good.
Yeah,
Well,
we were hoping to
I
talk
think
about this
that's
for
it.
a while. I think we covered it pretty good. Thanks for picking the game out for me. Next,
Oh.
we'll have to judge if it compares to whatever you pick next.
Oh
Whenever
boy.
we talk about that. So, yeah.
If you ever finish it.
Well, man. But
Oh
you don't have to bring
man,
that up. Come on. Oh, man.
The people need to know.
Yeah, I
People need
guess
to
so.
know that I finished a ridiculously long game because I had nothing better to do. Now I'm waiting on my dude. Because it goes to you.
To
To
me?
me. To you.
To me?
To me?
Oh, to
Oh,
me.
to
Oh.
me.